Bruce Feiler, best-selling author of books like Walking the Bible, has endured and recovered from cancer. He had a large tumor removed from his femur during a 15-hour surgery. It reconstructed his leg. You might remember we spoke with him about his memoir on that, The Council of Dads. So when a friend approached Bruce recently and said, "My sister has a brain tumor. I don't know what to do," Bruce did. And his advice turned into a recent column in the New York Times headlined, "You Look Great and Other Lies, How to Talk to People Who Face Serious Health Challenges." Bruce joins us again. Welcome.
Nice to be with you, Robin.
So, "You Look Great," start there. That's a no-no, you say.
Well, I think, let's just set the stage here a little bit. I mean, let me just first say thank you to all the people who were wonderful when I was sick, who I'm about to insult now in this conversation. People did amazing things for us. You know, started the Casserole Club, helped with our young children, as you remember from our talk about the Council of Dads, and were generally really great. But the truth is, when patients get together, one of the things that we all talk about are the relentless things that people do to upset us. And women in particular, I would say, always tend to gather around this topic of, "You look great." It's understandable that people want to make you feel good, but the truth is, I find women in particular feel like, "You're just reminding me that I look awful," because we know that our hair is falling out in clumps and our colostomy bags need emptying, right? And just think a little bit of an extra second. And are you really saying it to make yourself feel good, or are you really saying it to make
right.
the patient feel good?
Because, as you said, women in particular, at least in what you've found, don't want to hear that they look great when they know that they don't. But it sounds like you didn't want to hear that either. And Bruce, we should say this column was particularly timely for us because we just learned about a colleague facing a big health challenge. And you know who you are, buddy. In a card that we wrote to him, I said, "Kick that thing's butt." And then I thought afterwards, is that okay? Directly addressing the fact that there is something that needs butt kicking.
That doesn't bother me, actually. I kind of like the aspect of, we're on your side and we understand you're fighting something that's really awful. I think where I find that it tips over into something that makes patients uncomfortable is in when you start saying something like, "It's going to be better," or, "We know you're going to kick its butt." It's this idea of predicting something where, in fact, you don't know what's really going to happen. A patient that I spoke to when I was doing research for this article, who had 3 brain surgeries in the last 6 months, said to me, "I got a lot of, you know, 'You're going to be okay. Chin up. It's all going to be fine.'" And she would think to herself, "Really? You haven't seen the scans. That's not what my doctors are saying." Unless you're a medical professional, kind of avoid playing Nostradamus.
Right. But the number one thing on your not-to-say list, "What can I do to help?" Now, I always thought that was the number one thing to say. Why is it a negative for you?
What the patient hears when you hear this 8, 10, 15 times a day from people who, of course, mean very, very well is, as Doug Ullman, the head of Livestrong, said to me, he had 3 cancers in a couple of years. He said, the truth is the patient's never going to tell you what they need. We don't want to feel vulnerable, and we don't want to burden you. So my advice is, instead of saying, "What can I do to help?" offer actually some specific things that you can do to help. The more mundane, the better. Because, you know, what we really need is unpot our dead plants, right? Take the dog for a walk. Change our oil. So if in the course of a week you're doing something that you dread and is really unpleasant, okay, go over and volunteer to do it for your friend.
Yeah. So in other words, be more specific and don't put the burden back on the patient to think about one more thing, which is, what can you do to help?
And by the way, if you do drop by, if you drop by a fruitcake or you take over some flowers or you take over a dessert or something like that, while you're there, tidy up the bathroom, do a few dishes, and take the trash out when you leave.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm just guessing, don't drop off a fruitcake. I'm just guessing. Another on your list of things never to say, "My thoughts and prayers are with you." But I rush to say that's because you think it's cliched. You of all people, love prayer.
In my experience, most people who use the phrase, "My thoughts and prayers are with you," aren't doing both. They're just relying on this kind of hackneyed phrase. And to my mind, we should retire it to that graveyard of places, things like, "I'm stepping down to spend more time with my family," or, "It's not you, it's me." I mean, things that we know are empty. So yeah, If you're thinking about them, tell them. If you're praying, tell them. But just be careful of this phrase, which is the kind of thing that politicians say when they're, you know, sending condolences. Yeah.
A couple more things on your please don't say list. How are we today? Because it's not a we here. It's a you. It also infantilizes the patient. But also, don't offer your own medical advice.
Yeah. Did you try that mango colonic I recommended? I mean, you cannot believe in the course of the year that I spent fighting cancer, and almost to this day, my inbox was inundated with these kind of 1940-style Grand Ole Opry kind of home remedies, and people, the Swedish visualization exercises, or like, if you put turmeric under your fingernails and take a shower outside in the backyard and then jump around three times, you'll feel better. Trust me, it cured my Uncle Louie. And the thing about it is, these are all different situations, and these home remedies don't tend to apply across the board.
Well, but they do, you know, they, as you said, the biggest problem is that they make the people offering them feel better. So how to channel that goodwill? What is the thing people should say, at least in your view and from your research? What are some of the things we should say?
Number one, don't write me back. Chicken soup, in my view, it's not a wedding gift. It shouldn't come with added stress to the patient. Number two, I should be going now, like a magic five words. If you do go and visit a patient, stay for 20 minutes, a half an hour, and then, you know, out the door. And as I said, take the trash out when you leave. Number three, would you like some gossip? You know what? We have an opinion on the Starlet's affair or the latest controversy scandal coming out of Washington.
Or how about those Bruins?
Exactly, the big game in the playoffs. Distraction is also often good medicine. But my number one advice, you will never, ever go wrong. And this goes back to what you said about your colleague, with simple, direct emotion. I love you. I'm sorry you have to go through this. I hate to see you suffer. You mean a lot to me. You've been a good friend. That's what resonates for the patient.
You know, and I would wonder if becoming so straightforward and emotional when somebody is so sick might make them frightened. You know, like, wait a minute, this must be serious, more serious than I thought, that kind of thing. And you say, no, it's what you want to hear.
The year that I was fighting cancer, Robin, people came and they were incredibly intimate. They talked about what was going on in their lives, what they were scared about. And I felt it was this incredible privilege to be given access to the innermost place in their life.
Bruce Feiler, we've been talking about his column in this Sunday's New York Times, You Look Great and Other Lies. We'll also link you to our past conversation about his battle with cancer, the Council of Dads. His upcoming book is Generation Freedom, The Middle East Uprising and the Remaking of the Modern World. We're going to talk to you about that on the 4th of July. Can't wait. Bruce, thank you as always.
You mean a lot to me.
Oh, you too. She said, what? Am I sick? What?
Exactly. Right. Right to your doctor.
Bruce, thank you as always.
My pleasure.